Crown Papers, a serial in 6 episodes by Peter Ling and Juliet Ace. Episode 6, Summer 1937. On the morning after the Minsters attended the Royal Garden Party, Sir Charles Bowyer prepares to return to London.
Well, Ellis, I'd better be making a move. I don't want to miss my train.
It's all right. We've booked a taxi to take you to the station.
Ah, thank you.
I'm only sorry Jenny left so early, otherwise you could have gone up together in the car.
I hadn't realised she was going to London today. She didn't say a word about it last night.
She made up her mind first thing this morning. It was all rather sudden.
Anyway, the train will do me very well. I've really enjoyed these few days at Crown House. It's made a pleasant change.
Such a shame Gina couldn't have come down as well.
Yes, well, she spends every waking moment with her fascist cronies nowadays. I hardly ever see her.
Ma, I've been on the phone... Oh, I'm sorry. Am I interrupting?
No, not at all, my boy. I'm just off.
Before you go, let me tell you both. I've just spoken to the palace and told them I've made up my mind. I'll be happy to accept the post of equerry to His Majesty.
Oh, darling, I am glad.
That's excellent news. I'm sure you'll make a good job of it.
Well, I'll do my best. And it's a chance to rejoin the Navy. You never know. I might manage to get to sea now and again. I'll just go and tell Jenny.
You can't. She isn't here.
Oh? Where is she? Out shopping?
No.
She's gone to London.
What on earth for? We went up to town yesterday. What's she playing at?
Well, how very odd. I thought she'd talk to you about it. She's gone to see Lady Cloudesley.
But she hardly knows the woman.
Well, it was soon after you went down to the farm. Jenny came and asked me where Lady Cloudesley lived. So I gave her the address, somewhere in Kensington. And I thought she wanted to write to her. But she said she must talk to her as soon as possible.
Mrs. Gaunt, this is an unexpected pleasure. Perhaps you'd like some coffee?
No, thank you. And I'm afraid it won't be a pleasure. I have to talk to you. I think you know why.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
The first time I met you was 4 years ago. And yesterday I saw the same look of terror on your face.
I told you I've always been afraid of thunderstorms.
I think you were afraid of me, in case I recognized you. The day Richard died, you were in the grounds of Crown House. I thought then you were with a party of picnickers, but last night I suddenly realized. Before you married Sir Harold Cloudesley, you were Mrs. Joseph Morrissey, weren't you?
I knew you'd remember.
You didn't appear in court. You were too ill by then. In a nursing home, I believe.
Yes.
That day, 4 years ago, it was you I spoke to in the grounds. What were you doing there?
I'd come to see Richard. He'd written to tell me it was all over. Joe found the letter. There was the most fearful row. But I didn't care. All I cared about was Richard.
So you went to see him at the stables?
We went up into the loft. They'd been ratting. He was still carrying his gun. I told him if he didn't take me back, I'd kill myself. I grabbed the gun. He tried to get it away from me. It was an accident. The most fearful accident. You must believe me. An accident.
Poor Richard.
I'm afraid I panicked. Then I ran away. That's when you saw me. When I got home, I told Joe. We should have contacted the police straight away. I should have confessed everything. But Joe was a proud man. He couldn't face the public humiliation. And neither could I. That night he wrote the letter. And then he walked out of the house and shot himself.
And let everyone think he'd killed Richard. He must have loved you very much.
I'd hurt him unbearably. I think he didn't want to go on living. I was in the nursing home a long time. Then, when I was well enough to travel, I went abroad. I had friends in India. They were very good to me. That's where I met Harold. By that time, I'd changed my name. I was trying to blot out the past. I covered my tracks so well, Harold never knew anything about it. Soon we were married, and when he finished his tour of duty in Delhi, I came back to England as Lady Cloudesley. And within a year, I was invited to become one of Her Majesty's occasional ladies. It was the most terrible moment when I met Lady Minster for the first time, knowing she was Richard's mother. But nobody ever suspected. No one ever found out. Until now. What are you going to do?
Nothing can change what happened. Nothing can bring Richard back.
You won't tell anyone I did it.
What would be the point?
A glass of sherry, Mama, before luncheon, to celebrate Nick's appointment.
Not if it's that sweet stuff.
It's the Amontillado. I think you'll approve.
I wonder if Polly will be home for lunch. She went into Medford this morning to interview a few prospective clients.
Nobody ever tells me anything. What do you mean, clients?
We're still not entirely sure, Mama. She said something about an agency. An employment agency, perhaps, I'm only guessing.
Hello.
Hello, dear.
I'm not late, am I?
Talk of the devil.
Now, that's what I call a really warm welcome. I brought you a present. Just a few flowers.
What have I done to deserve presents?
I went on a spending spree. Once I'd finished in the office, I went out and bought some new clothes. What do you think?
Very smart.
Does it make me look like a respectable businesswoman?
Attractive, I'd say, rather than respectable.
That's the chorus girl in me coming out. At least the clients seem to be impressed.
What clients? What are you talking about?
My office opens tomorrow. There'll be a piece in the Medford Gazette, but I suppose I'd better tell you first. I'm starting a marriage bureau.
What? I never heard of such a thing. You can't. Remember who you are.
Oh, don't worry, dear. I'm not going to drag the family through the mud. I'll be using my professional name, the Polly Harvey Bureau.
I think it's a wonderful idea.
You would. William, you must put a stop to it.
If there's a demand for that sort of thing, I don't see what's wrong with it. I wish you luck, my dear.
But it's out of the question. It's improper.
That's where you're wrong. I won't take anyone on unless they're genuine. No hanky-panky.
I still say it's outrageous. I'm surprised at you, Polly. It's the kind of thing I'd expect from Alice's sister-in-law, the American woman. Oh, I never can remember her name.
Hello, Gina. I'm back.
Well, thank heavens for that. I've got a meeting at 2, so we're eating early. How are the family?
Quite well, thank you.
You must tell me all the news, but not now. I'll get them to start serving lunch.
Not yet. Sit down, Gina. There's something we have to discuss.
We can't talk now. I told you I'm in a rush.
Please. On the way up from Kent, I got into conversation with a chap in the train. Strangely enough, it turned out that he knew you slightly. He is an old friend of Moseley. Was best man at the wedding. That's where he met you, in Berlin. I happened to mention that you were a guest of the Goerings, and he was very surprised. He was sure you were staying at one of the big hotels. The Adlon, is it?
Oh, he's mixing me up with somebody else.
No, he was quite certain about it. He remembered having drinks with you in the bar. You and Roland Voss. Voss was staying at the same hotel, I gather. Why did you lie to me, Gina? I want an explanation.
Why couldn't he keep his big mouth shut?
So it is true. You and Roland Voss.
Of course it's true. Well, what did you expect? Let's face it, our marriage was on the rocks years ago. Frankly, honey, you bore me. I needed someone young, someone full of life. So when I met Raleigh, I couldn't help myself.
I think I'll have a drink.
Oh, sure. Well, that hasn't helped either. Maybe instead of picking up the bottle, you should pick up the phone and call your lawyer. Tell him he can start divorce proceedings right away. And if you want me, I'll be at Rowley's apartment.
Nick, darling. I'm sorry I'm so late.
I couldn't help being worried.
Didn't your mother explain? I thought you knew. I've been up to town to see Lady Cloudsley.
Yes, Ma told me. But I still don't understand why you had to go and see this woman.
Oh, I'd rather not talk about it. I must go up and bathe and change before
dinner. Jenny, I want to know what's going on.
I can't tell you, Nick. I'm sorry.
Why not? Why are you making such a mystery out of it? You said you'd met her before somewhere. Well, who is she?
4 years ago, she used to be Helen Morrissey. She was the woman Richard had been seeing
so
before.
So that's it. Oh, I should have known. That's why you had to go and talk to her. Well, you had so much in common. Sharing happy memories. Comparing notes on darling Richard.
Nick! You don't understand. I tried to persuade Richie to give her up, for Polly's sake. And he must have taken my advice because he wrote and told her the affair was over.
Oh, you mean you put a stop to it? What a pretty picture. You and Polly and this other woman all dancing attendance on Richard and all jealous of each other. Oh, God, you make me sick.
It wasn't like that.
I suppose now she'll be coming to stay here, huh? And then you'll all put flowers on his grave and weep over your lost lover. Where the hell do you think you're going?
Upstairs to Pat.
Jenny!
Well, I think it's simply fascinating. How much do you charge your clients?
5 guineas to join. That's after I've interviewed them. Then they go into the card index. 1 box for men, 1 for women.
And then what?
Well, if 2 of them actually get married, they both pay the second part of the fee. That's another 10 guineas each.
So that's 15. 30 guineas altogether. You'll be a millionairess. Oh, Nick. Nick, there you are. Polly's just been... Nick, what's happened?
I thought I'd better tell you. Jenny's gone.
Gone? What do you mean?
She walked out. I said something unforgivable. She went upstairs and packed a bag. Nobody's seen her since. She's left me.
Oh, Nick, you idiot.
You mustn't worry. I expect she's gone to stay with some friend or other. And when she comes down...
No, I can't expect her to forgive me after what I've said. Excuse me.
Well, perhaps if we ring round some of the local people.
Well, she won't thank you for telling half the neighbourhood she's disappeared.
No, I suppose not. Oh, I can't imagine this house without Jenny.
Nor can I. What shall I tell the children? She's been a second mother to them. A better mother than I ever was.
Oh, don't say that.
It's true. Well, it's up to me now. If Jenny's really gone... I'm going to have to begin all over again, aren't I? Get my priorities right. Get to know my own children.
Hello, Charlie. I'm back.
Have you come for your luggage?
No. I've been thinking things over, and I realized I was making a very stupid mistake, so here I am.
What do you mean?
When I left, I went straight to Rowley's apartment. I told him what had happened. Maybe it was naive of me, but I thought he'd be pleased.
Wasn't he?
He was shocked. He said I mustn't do anything rash. Honestly, the nerve of that man. He started lecturing me, God damn it.
Really?
At least now I know what a stuffed shirt hypocrite he really is. Must have been crazy to fall for him.
Yes.
But I've learned my lesson, honey, and I've come back to you. Why don't you fix us both a drink, huh? A large scotch. That should hit the spot.
I'll pour you one if you like. With ice, I suppose.
Sure.
But oddly enough, I haven't had a drink since you left the flat.
Oh?
You see, I've had an opportunity to think things over, too. And I've decided you were absolutely right.
What?
I've made an appointment with my lawyer.
I shall instruct him to commence proceedings, citing Mr. Voss as co-respondent. I'm sorry if it interferes with his political ambitions.
Charlie, no! You can't!
As you say, our marriage was over long ago. On the rocks, to coin a phrase.
William, shall I turn out the light?
No, leave it on. I can't stop thinking about Jenny.
What on earth could Nick have said to her?
I have a rough idea. I've always been afraid something like this might happen. I had hoped that when he came home and they were together all the time, it might bring them closer, but...
They've gone on, drifting apart.
And it all comes back to Nick's obsessive jealousy of Richard. And Jenny confided in me once when she was helping me in the garden.
Ever since she fell in love with Nick, she's never so much as looked at another man.
Well, there's such a thing as retrospective jealousy, as I discovered myself.
Well, that's different. When you found out about Paul, you had every right to be jealous.
12 years after the event. You can't go on nursing your resentment forever. It's the present that matters.
Jenny loves Nick so much. It's terribly unfair. Did you ever tackle him about it?
She made me promise not to.
Morning, Ma.
Oh, good. I thought you might have gone out. Have you had any breakfast?
No.
Why don't I ask cook to rustle up something?
I'm not hungry.
Nicholas, talk to me. Tell me about it.
Not much to tell. We had a row, Jenny left me. She never really loved me, you know.
Oh, don't say that. Jenny loves you with all her heart. I never saw anyone so much in love.
Yes, you did. You saw her with Richard. She couldn't take her eyes off him.
Of course. She'd never known love before. But she was young, and it didn't last.
Because he broke it off. So she married me, but it didn't change her love for Richard.
As Jenny grew older, her love for you grew as well. Infatuation is one thing. Deep and abiding love is another.
I suppose that's why she ran away from me.
Of course. She couldn't stand the pain any longer. She wanted you, nobody else. But you kept dragging Richard between you until at last you drove her away.
I can't help it. She loved Richard first. I can never forgive her for that.
If you really loved her, you'd forgive her anything. That's what love means. That's how much your father loved me.
What's Pa got to do with it?
Let's walk for a while. There's something I should tell you. Something that might help you to understand.
All I want is a job. Just to tide me over until I can sort things out.
Jenny, I'd love to help. You know that.
I could take phone messages. I could interview the clients.
Oh, I don't know. Nick would never forgive me if
he... He might. You never know.
How did you get in?
I explained that I'm your brother-in-law and that I have to talk to my wife.
Oh, please... Don't make a scene. It's not fair to Polly.
Don't mind me. I'm just going to make some coffee. Excuse me.
May I sit down?
How did you know I was here?
I suddenly realized Polly was the one person you turned to.
Yes. Well, I'm hoping she'll give me a job for a week or two while I sort out my affairs with the bank and...
Jenny, I came to say I'm sorry and to ask you to forgive me. I love you very much and I can't let you go. Last night was the worst night of my life. I realized how stupid I've been, how cruel.
We can't talk here. Polly will be coming back any minute with coffee and polite chat.
And we could go to the tea shop over the road. Remember the copper kettle?
Of course. That's where you met me one afternoon. You just joined the Navy. I hardly recognized you in your uniform.
You were waiting for Richard. That was when I realized how you felt about him.
I was so much in love with him. And he broke our date to be with another girl. You sat opposite me looking hurt and disappointed. You were jealous even then.
It's been a sickness. And this morning... Well, Something happened that made me realize how stupid I've been. No more jealousy, Jenny. I promise.
I wish I could believe you.
I love you so very much. Please say we can make a new start.
If you really want to. But you must stop comparing yourself with Richard. It's you I love. Nobody else. Nick, who always wrote to me, and to whom I wrote and got to know.
And will get to know again.
When you take up your position as a query, we'll write. And every time we meet...
You don't imagine I'm going away from you now. Oh, no, I'll explain to the palace. I want to be with you, Jenny, always.
No. I know how much you want that job. The service is your life. Perhaps I can make it mine as well.
Come on. Let's tell Polly. We're going out for our coffee.
God gracious, this isn't a racetrack. Can't you look where you're going?
Oh, sorry. We didn't see you there. When they're let out of the schoolroom, they get a bit carried away.
Alex, hurry! Don't you come bothering your great-grandmama. Do you hear?
Quite right. Tell them to go and bother their grandfather instead. I think I saw William in the rose garden.
Oh, good. We'll go and join...
Let the children find him. You stay and keep me company. I haven't seen much of you lately.
No. Well, I've been rather busy.
Busy looking after your family?
It wasn't easy at first. The weekend when Jenny went missing, I was terrified. The children looked at me as if I was a stranger.
So you were, and it was your own fault.
Oh, thanks very much. I tried everything. I drove them down to Folkestone, went paddling on the beach, took them to the funfair, bought ice creams. They just went on staring at me. You'll never guess what finally did the trick.
Tell me.
Next day it rained, so we couldn't go out. I was going frantic, till I remembered the attics. I took them to the top of the house and we explored the box rooms. They liked that. Then I had a stroke of luck. I found my old skip.
Your skip?
The dress basket from my touring days. Oh. It still had a lot of costumes and old tat in it. Even my makeup box. So we started dressing up. I let them put on some grease paint. I tried to remember some of the old routines. Taught them a few steps. And we all finished up having a lovely time.
Oh, I'm glad to hear it. You're a good girl, Polly.
Me? The one who brought shame on the family.
I may have been a trifle hasty. Of course, we had nothing of that kind in my young days.
You didn't need it. I bet the men were falling over themselves for you.
Oh, I certainly had my chances. But a marriage bureau would have been invaluable for some families I could name. Gawky lumps of girls, all single and likely to remain so, driving their parents to distraction. They'd have paid a king's ransom for an eligible bachelor.
Mind you, I can't work miracles. Some people aren't the marrying kind.
But I hear you've had some triumphs. Is it true you paired off a pork butcher with the daughter of Lord and Lady?
Shh. My lips are sealed.
Do sit down, my dear. I want to hear all the details.
I settled Charlie on the terrace with the Times crossword, and I brought you some lemonade.
With you in a jiffy?
You shouldn't work so hard. This was meant to be a quiet afternoon in the sun.
Oh, very well. Damn weeds.
Sit down and close your eyes for 5 minutes, like Charlie. Somehow I don't think he'll get far with the crossword. But he does need some peace and quiet after all he's been through.
Yes, it's a bad business.
I couldn't help wondering, you're a great advocate of forgiveness. You don't think he should have taken Gina back after all?
If he had, I'd never have spoken to him again.
Oh,
damn it, who's that? Are we expecting anyone?
I can't quite see. Oh, my God.
goodness, it can't be.
Eh?
Hello there.
Bless my soul.
Scott.
Oh, Ma.
Oh, darling, what a wonderful surprise.
It's lovely to see you, Daddy.
Carol.
You do look well.
Scott, dear.
How are you, my boy?
Pretty well, thank you.
Now, what on earth have you been up to? We expected you home long ago.
We've been traveling Europe.
There's so much to tell.
And all the time in the world to tell us, I hope.
Afraid not. We're off again at the weekend.
We have to pick up visas at the Czech embassy, and then we're flying to Prague.
Scott's hoping to get an interview with President Benesch.
You think Hitler intends to make trouble, though?
I'd say it's more than likely.
Oh, by the way, Charlie's staying with us for a few days, but I should warn you.
Yeah, we just talked to him when we arrived. He told us about him and Gina.
Oh, poor Uncle Charlie. It's awful for him.
Yeah, but not really surprising. I mean, I'm not proud of my sister. In fact, it makes me kind of nervous asking for Carol's hand in marriage, sir.
Scott! You never said a word.
You mean you didn't know?
No, I didn't. Oh, how wonderfully old-fashioned of you.
Very respectful in this day and age.
Well, deep down, I guess I must be pretty conventional.
This calls for a celebration. Where is everyone? Where's Nick and Jenny?
He's on his way down from town. Jenny's gone to Medford to meet him.
Nick, over here.
There you are. Have you been waiting long?
Only a few minutes. The train was practically on time.
Oh, Jenny, darling. I'm so happy.
Is that why you're grinning like a Cheshire cat?
Damn it, I can't help it. I was going to show you this tomorrow, but...
It looks very official. What is it?
It's from the Lord Chamberlain's office. To certify that the Honourable Nicholas Gaunt is by King's command hereby appointed into the place and quality of a Lord in Waiting to His Majesty. To have, hold, enjoy,
Let me! Given under my hand and seal this 14th day of July 1937 in the first year of His Majesty's reign. Oh, Nick, I'm so proud of you.
From now on, wherever they go, I go. There's some great plans for next year. A state visit to Paris, and you're coming too. Just think, we could go anywhere in the world.
Next year can wait. The car's outside. Come on, let's go.
Home.
Home to Crown House.
In Crown Papers by Peter Ling and Juliet Ace, Alice was played by Dinah Sheridan and William by Geoffrey Whitehead. Nicholas, Mark Straker. Jenny, Helena Breck. Polly, Melinda Walker. And Old B, Margaret Rawlings. Sir Charles was played by Brett Usher and Gina by Shelley Thompson. Caroline, Deborah Makepeace. Scott, Colin McFarlane. And Lady Cloudesley, Susan Sheridan. Technical presentation was by Carol McShane, Anne Bunting, Ian Pratt, and Nicholas Mason. Crown Papers is directed by Tracy Neal.